So we'll get that reaction at the top of the hour. First, I'm trying to understand the father. How is the Arab world, how is the radical Islamic world interpreting the father's remarks? Brigitte Gabriel, global terrorism expert, president of ACT for America, and also Claire Lopez is a senior fellow with the Center for Security Policy in the London Center for Policy Research. Brigitte, help us discern what is the Islamic world heard here when the father spoke Arabic, praising Allah, assalamu alaikum, and on the steps of the White House with the president of the United States, who smiled.
The Islamic world is delighted and proud because in their eyes, the Islam has been claimed at the White House, and here's how. The prayer that the father of Bergdahl said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is called Al-Fatiha, which is the opening prayer of Islam. When Muslims started conquering the world as Islam advanced after the death of Prophet Muhammad, anytime they conquered a nation or a city where they will stick their flag in and stand and claim the land for Islam, that's the prayer that they will say. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, etc., etc. So what Bergdahl's father did...
By the way, what is he speaking? What language?
That's Arabic.
So this is Arabic.
That's classical Arabic in which the Quran is written and which is recited worldwide by those who do not speak the Arabic language, including here in the United States, like with American Muslims who became Muslims, like African-Americans who became Muslims.
Because Jennifer Griffin said it was pushed on.
He did also say a few words in Pushto, but the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is in Arabic. It's the classical Arabic, the language of the Quran, which Muslims worldwide, no matter what language they speak, whatever dialect they speak, that's the classical language, Arabic language of the Quran.
Wow. Claire, what's your interpretation of this, and how do you think the radical Islamic world interprets the comments of the father?
Well, I couldn't say it any better than Brigitte just said, Sean. Those words, as she pointed out, are the first words of every single verse or surah in the Quran, except for one. The only one that verse doesn't precede is the sword verse, the surah of the sword, the ninth verse. Every other surah, chapter, maybe we should say, every other chapter of the Quran opens with those words. And just as Brigitte said, Muslims around the world who heard the father, Bergdahl's father, say those words on the steps of the White House at the Rose Garden, just as the president did and smiled, understood what they meant, understood that this father was saying this in a way to claim the White House for Islam and to praise what had gone before and what was to come, the spread of Islam, what had gone before the victory of achieving the release of these five top Taliban terrorist jihadis from Gitmo.
Let me ask this question, because if you read Waleed Shubat's piece, he is claiming that the father, he actually said that is the Muslim victory call and that Obama smiling, that Obama understood it. Now, When the president, where did he go to college? Grade school. It was in Jakarta, correct?
Indonesia.
Correct. Indonesia, okay.
Indonesia.
Mm-hmm. And so he went there, wasn't he quoted as saying in his book that one of the most beautiful things was Muslim prayer at sunset? Or that was a statement that he made.
I got
the quote right here. I found it in my pile. He said in this interview that he once got in trouble for making faces during Quran study classes in his elementary school, but a president is less likely to stereotype Muslims as fanatics and more likely to be aware of their nationalism if he once studied the Quran with him. And he said one of the most beautiful sights on earth was prayer at sunset. He recalled the opening lines. This was actually in the New York Times. He recalled the opening lines of Arabic call to prayer, reciting them with a first-rate accent in a remark that seemed delightfully uncalculated. It'll give Alabama voters heart attacks, is how the New York Times wrote it at the time. Mr. Obama described the call to prayer as one of the prettiest sounds on earth at sunset. New York Times.
And this is exactly the prayer that Bergdahl's father said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that's exactly what Obama was talking about as music to his ears. And this is why the president could stand by Bergdahl's father at the steps of the White House with a smile on his face, feeling so proud of himself that he did something so good, and hearing those words. Obama wasn't fazed by those words. For him, they make him feel good. It's a reflection back on his childhood. It's not all bad. These are sweet words. Yet, at the same time, our enemies are perceiving these words in a completely different way. And I have to say, maybe the father is not an Islamist, you know, Bergdahl's father. Maybe he was saying this trying to score points, political points with the enemies of his children, the people who kidnapped his son. No matter.
Well, wait. Hang on a second. But we have a guest coming up, his team leader in Afghanistan, who's saying that he was a deserter who was seeking out the Taliban and that he heard the radio communications himself.
Correct. The son is correct. But I mean, the father standing at the steps of the White House may have used them not really knowing what he was actually talking about, and that is claiming the White House for Islam according to the history of 1,400 years of Islamic conquering all over the world when they stake that stake and say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, declaring that spot or that geographical location for Islam as a victory for Islamic conquerors.
And Sean, if I could add one thing here, exactly what Brigitte is saying, the victory that was achieved right here is the release of these terribly dangerous top five commanders of the Taliban from Gitmo, and the return essentially back to the battlefield. Yes, there's a stopover in Qatar for some period
of
time.
By the way, some stopover in Qatar, they're not in prison. They're free to roam around. They're viewed as local heroes now.
Well, and the thing is that these are not men who would be battlefield fighters themselves. These are the commanders. These are the ones who direct the fight. They can do that by Skype, by cell phone, by satellite phone from wherever they are in the world, Qatar or anywhere else. Their value lies in their ability to lead the Taliban, which is going to take over Afghanistan again, together with its allies, the Al-Qaeda militias, the Haqqanis, which held Bo Bergdahl, and Iran. They together will take over Afghanistan again. The victory is the release of these five who are so important to that effort for the Taliban, for the jihadist side, and they will be free to do that now.
Unbelievable.
While our troops, by the way, are still in the field and will be.
Why would the father assume that his son is having trouble speaking English?
Sean, I think that word came from the military who brought him up to Germany.
Wow.
Hang on one second.
There's one more report here, though. Enemy attacks grew more accurate after Bergdahl met with the Taliban that he was seeking out.
Yeah, this is what his platoon mates say. Now, you know, is that direct evidence that Bergdahl shared information with his captors? We don't know that for sure, but his platoon mates perceived it that way.
Well,
Pentagon did a study, did a report, and they came out in 2010. The reason why they did not go after him to rescue him, because at different times throughout the 5 years, they knew exactly where he was, and who he was with. The reason why they did not launch rescue mission is because they knew he was a deserter, and they calculated that it wasn't worth going and rescuing him. Now, how come the Pentagon knows this information and the White House did not know this information and went basically?
Why are you assuming the White House didn't know? Of course they knew. They've even defended the decision, and they went out and said he served with honor and distinction. They knew better. Everybody knew. By the way, six Americans were killed looking for this man.
Yeah, this is what I was going to say. The parents of those killed.
I've interviewed them.
They were lied to by the Pentagon. They were told their sons died in action against the Taliban. They were not told that their sons died looking for this deserter.
Unbelievable.
Exactly. President Obama's hosting of Bergdahl's parents and dispatching Susan Rice to tout his service with honor and distinction is a direct insult to the families of the fallen and to the multiple soldiers who received received Purple Hearts after injuries sustained in attempting to rescue Bergdahl. And also, the commander-in-chief's insensitivity to the Cold Star families and to the men who were injured is a breach of trust with the American people as well.
Where's where's the president in all this? How does he not know if he was uniquely qualified to bridge the gap, having lived and learned in Jakarta, et cetera, with the Muslim world, that he was uniquely qualified for this? How does he not know and understand the enemy, the radical Islamists? How does he not understand them?
I'm afraid the answer, Sean, is that he does know and he does understand perfectly. He just doesn't look at them as enemies the way we do.
All right. Thank you both for being with us. Appreciate it. 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program, toll free. It's 800-941-SEAN. We'll continue.